But I was going to read a few verses today from James chapter 2. You can turn there. Springboard to the message today. I want to read one verse from Proverbs chapter 16, verse. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth spirits. Then I'll read from James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. What does it profit, my brother, if a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Your brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. And what have you said to them? Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, and give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Even so, faith that hath not works is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now believe that there is one God, that doeth well. Devils also believe and tremble. Wilt thou know, faith without works is dead? Not Abraham our father justified by works, you know. Son on the altar. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works by works? Scripture was fulfilled and said, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and was called friend. You see then how that by works man is justified. Likewise also was not Rahab the Lord justified by works, which he received by spirit and sent him out of the way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I've entitled the message this morning, Good Intentions. Good Intentions. This is something I've been thinking on and off about for a while. Just different things about this. I think in our Christian experience, or in our life's experience. Maybe it gets us in trouble sometimes. The fact that we have good intentions. Intentions kind of frees us from actually getting done what we ought to get done. Good intentions. That's why I read that verse from Proverbs 16 where it said, all the ways of a man are in his own eye or way of the spirits. And so that's a little bit of a statement about human nature. As we consider our own lives and what we're up against. Things that I was facing, the reasons why I responded and acted the way I did. And we tend to justify ourselves, tend to say, well, my ways, it's right. Doing what's right, and if I wasn't quite able to fulfill it to perfection or how I ought to have done it, it wasn't because my intentions were wrong, I just wasn't able to. Those kinds of excuses we make for ourselves. And maybe this message this morning is part confession or part motivational speech or attempt to accountability myself. But I feel this in my own life, this discrepancy between what I intend to do, what I would like to do, and what I'm actually able to get done. And we see that there in the story that I read from James. He was proving that fact that you say you have faith doesn't equal faith. It's what you actually get done. Now, in our lives, more than just in our spiritual lives, we have high ideals, we have high goals. We want them to work. We want to have a successful marriage. We want to have a family life at home that is good and upbuilding and valuable. These good things. And we would say that we have motivation. Just the things that I do is motivated by desire, successful spiritual life experience. We want it to be good. We have high ideals that want to be. Nobody sets out to be a myth. To just start out to wreck it. We start out to do good. And good motives and good aspirations are good. It is good to we have to have these things that we're pressing for if we want to be successful. Without a desire to have a good marriage, we like to take it very seriously. Like to make decisions that would cause it to be a marriage. Good motives, good aspirations. Good intentions. That's the message as well. Good intentions. We have good intentions. We have those good desires, those good intentions. We would say things that I do, conduct that I make, I mean, the conduct that I have, is benevolent. It is to push it forward, wants it to be successful. So we would have good motives, good intentions for this experience here, as well as our marriages. So, I think one of the things that we've learned. It's benevolent thoughts, good ideals, are no match for simple actions. Intending to do good is not the same thing as doing good. We recognize that. But I wonder how, I think there's some ways that we can think about that. James tells us just a simple thing that you want to help somebody, somebody's cold, somebody's hungry, and you tell them, well, be part of the peace, be warmly filled. The intention is for the man to not be cold and to have something good to eat. That's your intention. We didn't do anything about it. He's as hungry, as cold as he was. And he shows us kind of the shallowness or the insufficiency of just having good intentions. And I think sometimes, just one of the things that we think about, sometimes our good intentions, we use that to sap our conscience, actually getting something done. I don't know, just for me, I don't know. It's good intentions. I am going to say that. Fix it. But, what do you do to actually? That's the kind of illustration. We'd like to know more of Scripture and study it. We'd like to have good relationships. What do we do ourselves to enter into that? What do we do to make that a reality? What are we willing to sacrifice to help move that good intention forward? Help move that good intention. One of the reasons that this message has been on my mind for a long time. I have observed, maybe you can observe it with me, a phenomenon, if you will, in our life's experiences, church life, maybe life's experiences, is we tend to have confidence in people or confidence in ourselves. Confidence in our good intentions rather than fuse it with the issue of actually doing the correct thing. Have you ever been in a situation where you was doing something and you just realized that they were just doing something? They were doing something that wasn't going to work out. Was going to make a mess of things. Or maybe you did that yourself. You fix something. See it. The illustration I came up with is where we were trying to build a piece of glass. Trying to get it in there, trying to fit it in the jam, trying to, you know, carefully hold this thing up and put it back in, and somebody with a little screwdriver, just right. And with the best of intentions, doing what they wanted to, what they thought was best. Thought was going to help. Thought was going to move this process forward. Recognizing the glass. You stand there in the wreckage of your good intentions and you're like, actually, I did the wrong thing. And so next time somebody uses, you're in the same place and you have the same confidence in the you're the scene where this the story is actually Thomas says the true story. It's like worked on the sled, kept seeing guys. They were there filling around with the same way. Get this thing just right. Finally they have a working prototype. Hey, take this upstairs. He rushes over the steps, on his way up the steps. Nothing to do, okay? The story goes that they get all that. Second, days of work to try to fill this in. You know, the interesting thing is he's probably the most conscientious person on the group. He was so ready. You know, his intention was to do the right thing, but he messed up. And his speed had broken this thing. The next time. The steps gingerly helped this thing so particularly he just did not want to do that. And I think that his intentions to turn the light on the same both times. But when he did something different. That's someone has good intentions does not mean that they're doing the right thing. And it's the same way in our life. But I wonder if sometimes in our confusion about the issues in church life, especially, we confuse the two things. We think that someone has good intentions, therefore they're doing the right thing. It's just not what it is. There's a story that, forgive me if I've used this illustration here before, I told my wife this morning, the last number of years has kind of overwhelmed. Just don't remember yourself. In 2017, I'll tell you a story of this lady. Her name was Radonna Bowden. She was a nurse back in Tennessee. And she was I don't know if she's an RN or not, but she's kind of had a position of authority there in the hospital where she was working. The younger lady, she had a place of responsibility working with healing nurses. A lot going on, busy hospitals, a lot. And they had a whole number of other personnel, a whole lot of safety measures, and just different things. One of the things that the patient came in, she needed to get a PET scan, a BED scan, a scintigraphy CAT scan, somehow measures the functions of the body. And this lady was supposed to give this person, it was a mild, I think, to help with her anxiety. some medication to kind of help cover it. She was laying this scanning machine for 30 or 40 minutes. So she went there to the cabinet, had this electronic cabinet, safety measures all built into this thing, so that she couldn't get out the wrong medication. So she entered in the right medication for this procedure. She was going to give the lady a shot, only to have the whole system malfunction. And which it did on numerous occasions, somehow the software was playing right together. So in her hustle and bustle, she overrode the safety measure and got this. Yeah, spit out some medicine. Which she had to do in the past, because it was kind of a chronic problem with the software was working with the cabinets. They had to do this. In numerous cases, it wasn't anything out of the order in this case. The medicine that actually came out was a very powerful sedative. So she gave this lady, 75 years old, a very powerful shot of the sedative by mistake. By the signs dropping drastically, and so this little lady died. And the nurse was just horrified. They tried to look back at what had happened. And here she was, this mistake that she had made. Nothing could be done. The lady was gone, and here she was. And interestingly enough, she, and this is probably why I know about it, turned into a criminal trial. They're on trial for overriding this machine in the law. I think it played out. And she got it. She lost her nursery license. And was put on 3 years of probation. And they went after her for manslaughter. And it's a terrible, sad story. But one thing is clear, and it's clear to me, and it illustrates what I'm trying to get at this moment. It's her intention. All she wanted to do was help. She wanted to help heal this lady. She was there. She was being paid to care for this lady. She started out her morning with every intention of doing the best of her ability to get this right, to heal this lady. Actions did have the exact opposite. So, exact opposite. I wonder sometimes, as we look at our lives, I lean into my intentions. I'm not sure that I have good intentions. I'm sure I would like to have good intentions. I'm sure I would like to have good intentions. You know, my condo. I wanted, that is my intention as I set out. And maybe you've experienced this, where you see someone in a situation where someone else is called in to mediate the situation. They walk in with the knowledge that this man's intentions are so right. He has good intentions. His motives are coming from a good place. He wants it to work. And instead of looking for things that are being done wrong, could be improved, decisions being made that are actually causing the problem, they have leaned heavily on the good intentions of the person. And I just think that it is such a human condition both to lean on the good intentions of someone we trust rather than examining the conduct, do it in our own selves. You think about this a little bit. We could illustrate this further. We could look at 2 Corinthians 13:5-6, where it tells us this. Examine yourself, while you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. How do we know if we're reprobates? How would they know? What do you look for when you're examining yourself to answer for the scripture? Another one in 1 Corinthians 11, 28, 30. Let a man examine himself, so that in need of that bread, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and they sleep. So here's another one, telling us to examine himself. Are we to examine our intentions? Do you think that these people that he was addressing, you said, well, make sure that you intend to do the right thing here. So this is all about, you intend to do the right thing. Make sure that you're actually wanting to not be a reprobate. Make sure that you're wanting to be in the faith. Make sure that he didn't question their intentions, and often we that's not what we examine. We are sure to do this right. We want to have conduct that is pleasing to the Lord and blessing to those around us. Our intentions are generally very high. Most of all, in one of his books, I can't remember which one, but makes this statement. So and so preaches Christ out of contention, supposing to add affliction to my boss. There he looked at the intention of what was going on, so even his intention, his motivation. Generally, we intend to have and to do good. So the call to examine our intentions. What are the choices that we're actually making? What are we doing that could cause us to be weak and sickly and sleep? Intentions are a substitute for good actions. Going on then a little bit, to move beyond intention takes self-discipline. I think maybe that's what I need to mature in for myself. To have self-discipline to do the right thing. Move beyond intention. It takes some sacrifice, some carefulness. You know, more recently, get up early in the morning, get up to the chair, read my Bible, and just like, no. Read this thing. My intention is to sit down. Time with God, but it is so easy. I'll pretend to speak. It's world, the things that are interesting for us, you know, the business things of the day. Easy to move beyond my good intentions into something that's just not there. So it's good for me to think about, to make decisions, set things up so that I can follow through. I know that militate against good action make us a little bit discouraged. I have a big aspiration. Maybe I want to chapter in the Bible. Some good thing, some big thing, some meaningful thing makes it. That's when it would make a difference. My good intentions can end up languishing, waiting for the big things that I think are the little things. I've tried to do more of that. In Matthew 10, someone giving a cup of water. You know, that blast, just that action of giving someone, because I love Jesus, I want to be kind, giving someone a glass of cold water. You know, that little action, in many ways, is much more meaningful and the long-term success of the Christians, the grandest good intentions. Not gonna have the good intentions and you know, but if I actually don't do anything, so the what I would like to take up the little things that I can do for others through this Christian experience for their Christian experience for others. Those little things can make a difference. Actually doing something little is much more meaningful. How do we inspire others with their good intentions? I suppose if some of you would come up to me after church and say, "You're fat, you should do something helpful." Probably some resistance and explanations. They say, "Well, you don't care and you're not very, very helpful." If you're actually going to help somebody with the new building or it's sometimes people are very unaware. Many times they know they have a problem. They wish they had the self-discipline. They wish they had the time. Sometimes they could. Good actual results. It's also maybe just a little bit, if we want to help each other to achieve our good intentions, we need to help each other. And we need to encourage each other to do that. We would all, we acknowledge that the people here have good intentions. They want to do right. And yeah, we would say, well, there's some conduct we should say, but in order to get people to do this, to follow through on their good intentions, well, in my experience, one of the things that makes a difference for me is when somebody else notices that the contribution that I notices that I actually, that there was some conduct there, did something, and it can be something little. I could think from set up in chairs this morning and ensured just the little things of life. Notice, somebody made this little sacrifice, somebody did this little thing. And it is helpful to each other when we notice. Just, if it wasn't that way, I'd probably be grouchy some days. But to notice, to encourage her, to help her on her duties, to notice, and to value that's something that's kind of interesting. Man, how do we tell each other or help each other with that? If we want each other, if we want to help each other, all three of them. Good marriages. Do we express to each other? Sometimes we don't. We realize that we are receiving something of value until it goes away. Would work all over the place that she does. I didn't even necessarily notice or pay attention to it. Suddenly, it's all up to me as the dishwasher, which is in it. Except, step away, shut the lights off. You come downstairs, well, the lights are off. Well, light? Shut them off? No, nobody shut them off because it's mom's job. The lights are off all night. You get the point. The things that it's so easy to overlook, the things of value that you bring to each other. So, of course, if we're going to help each other, we have to notice, we have to value it. Well, back to kind of the, it is, when people are driven by good intentions and their conduct is wrong, it is in our best interest of success, to be able to help, to say something. To share, to hold each other accountable, to get things. I think that's that way in church life. Good singing here. Who's going to put the effort in? Who's going to teach? Who's going to value singing, songs, the effort in to do it? Pretty disruptive to the day sometimes. There he is doing something of value. We know this is here. Singing that we all want to call each other tired. Notice, value, tribute, just expect things to just happen. Well, I thought to you just in closing, another example of this from Scripture. Chapter 25. This is the story of the inverts. Think about their intentions here as you read through this. 5 verse 13. Until the kingdom of heaven, you like them unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise said, oil in the vessels with their lamps. Well, the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, be out to meet him. Then all the virgins rose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us some of your oil. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest it be not enough for us and you. Go rather yourselves, and them that sell, buy for yourselves. Excuse me, I can't mess over here. First time. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest it be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell it by for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour of the Son. And there's lots of lessons that we can take out of this passage. But the point I wanted to see here is their intentions. They all wanted to go into the marriage. And they all did many things to get there. They all slumbered and slept. But they were all there and they all wanted to go. Every intention of getting into this marriage. They did many things in order to be there. Sacrificed. They had a lamp. The right place. There's lots of things that they got done right. But their conduct around the point being is the way this story is given is intentions. Didn't matter what they wanted. Didn't get it done because of the things they had missed as they approached this time. And so I think it is for us. Like James taught us, like this teaches us here, we can desire to be a part of this. Can we help each other to translate our good intentions? So, good intentions matter. All right, we'll have a